Everybody, welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are really excited today. We are talking with director Christopher Wolf today. She's the director of the new film Love and Glacier National, a National Park Romance, and that is coming this weekend to Hallmark Channel. And Christy, thanks so much for coming back.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been so long since we spoke.
Yeah, last time we talked was March 2021. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Yeah. What was that for? High Flying Romance, maybe?
No, I think it was for Chasing Waterfalls.
Oh, Chasing Waterfalls. That's right.
Yeah.
Chasing Waterfalls.
Yeah. But you've been keeping very busy since then.
I've been keeping busy, just rolling them out, you know, stuff for Lifetime, Hallmark. And then, of course, I've worked for GAC a bit too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how has it been kind of navigating the COVID protocols and the other things, the changes that have come since we last talked and before that?
Well, I think they're pretty much all gone away. Like
in Canada,
yeah, I feel like in Canada, they're still masking on set sets, but some, I think they're starting to dissolve them to the rule. Mm-hmm. But pretty much, I think it's all gone away. Or maybe I'm just not really in tune to it. Like I don't, it's like, just tell me what do you want to see? You need to see the vaccine, but you need to see this. But yeah, I'm hoping it's gone away.
Yeah. Do you think that had like an impact on chemistry because people couldn't like had to keep their distance and all that other stuff?
Well, interestingly, I think, you know, I don't know if you know this about my movies. We did testing and I kept the intimacy. I kept the kisses. I spoke with the actors ahead of time. If there was any discomfort and they felt like not comfortable to do it, then I would say, no, then we won't. But all of my leads were like, yes, let's keep it. So we just had a really tight bubble and we really emphasized I said, don't, well, you're shooting these 3 weeks, like you're not going out and hanging out with people, like you're just staying in here. So for my movies, I honestly didn't change any protocols when it came to intimacy. The only mm-hmm. thing that I found was difficult was the masking that I had to do on set, because I got on Chasing Waterfalls, I think we spoke, I got laryngitis, like trying to talk, like I, you know, trying to communicate, because that's my tool. So that's the biggest thing that I found with it.
Well, it's so hard to hear what people are saying and understand. You can't even just say, can you repeat it? I have no idea what you're saying.
Excuse me? What was that? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Chasing Waterfalls, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. And is that your personal favorite film that you've done with Christopher and Cindy?
I don't know. Like we've done, and I know my movies always lean a little more comedic and a little bit like the stuff that I just go off sometimes and do on my own. I don't know. I think that I really liked Love in Action. Like we just had a really fun time with that. And I liked Devon's character, Devon Alexander, who came in and played his agent. Like, do you remember Devon? He was also in Chasing Waterfalls. He did the singing and he's in this one too, Glacier, in our Glacier movie. I cast
him
in.
Which one is that? Love in Action.
Love in Action. I don't know if you guys liked it or not. I think you liked parts of it, but she's a fitness instructor. And then she takes him up, but there's a lot of shenanigans in that. Like we just had a lot of fun and I liked working with Devon. I thought his character was really funny. Mm. And the two of them.
Yeah, that side relationship was probably my favorite part of that one. Yeah, it was, I have to admit, it was not my favorite, but I did like that side relationship was fun. It looked like it would have been fun to make. I mean, how do you come up with these ideas? And are you on almost all your projects now? Are you kind of with them from conception onward? Or do you get brought on later in the process?
Pretty much from conception, except for some, say Five Star Christmas, that was already organized. Like that script was already developed, done, and then Hallmark called and I came on there. So there's some where I come in a little bit later as a director. And then these ones where I come on as an executive producer and director, and then kind of sometimes I write them. And then sometimes I, you know, do my heavy director's pass. This one had been, you know, my colleague, Tim Johnson, who's my, you know, co-EP on this. He had been floating this around for a while, and then Hallmark and they've started doing these, you know, they did the one with Cindy and what was the one that they just did the summer in the park?
The Yosemite Yosemite or something.
So they started with you. So I guess Chasing Waterfalls kind of kicked it off and seeing that that did quite well. And then they did Yosemite. And so this is kind of a series that they're going to do in different national parks and romances. So we can really see North America and all its landscape. So this one I came on early on. Yeah.
Well, that's what I wondered. Are they doing now? Are they going to be going all over to a bunch of national parks? Is this like a new series?
Kind of. That's okay. The plan. I don't know. I'm not high enough up to know if it's like there's a deal struck and it's a go, but I think that's what the plan is, to just see all our different national parks and beauty destinations.
Yeah, because I didn't realize last year that that was the case. And now this is the second one that they have a national park romance.
I know. It's a long title.
It is a long title. I know. National Park Romance. So we think we're going to be getting a whole bunch, which should be really fun. That's a great idea.
Yeah. This one, though, we didn't shoot it in, we actually shot it in Canada at Fernie, BC. But Fernie, so it's about avalanches, and it's a avalanche safety, and he's an avalanche guide, ski and safety. But Fernie is one of the biggest in North America danger avalanche places. So we went there with a whole team of professionals who combed the script, made sure everything was accurate, gave us all the gear on the mountain. And it was like minus 20, like blowing off avalanches on the top of the mountain. Like my body took such a toll from shooting this one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah.
So what does it mean to you to be a female filmmaker in this space and a director?
I guess it keeps changing. I think that for me, I feel that I go about the romance a little bit differently. And I feel like I tell a little bit more of the female perspective. Like I lean into the female experience. I feel a little bit more just being a female, and especially in this genre of romance, you know what I mean? I feel like that maybe I do that. Like, you know, I've been told that in some of my movies, like the slow kisses and the close and the kissing and the stuff that I know that myself and my friends and my female colleagues and even audience members, you know, I listen to them and that's what they want. Even down, you know, the firefighters, you remember we were talking about shirtless, like, I don't know if any other male directors that are getting our male actors given a little flash of shirtlessness to, you know, subject them to anything uncomfortable. Like they're always like, yeah, of course. Yeah. But you know, these guys work out so hard and I'm like, well, might as well. But you know, I don't think it's part of the fun of it. It's just so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas male directors, of course, through history and obviously not for the Hallmark Channel, but it's always been objectifying females a bit. Whereas I feel like I'm not subjectifying, but I'm like, well, I kind of, they're really good looking. Let's do that. And like have her look down and kind of eye this guy up. You know?
Yeah. Well, and if you think about like romance novels, they're usually about making the guy sexy, not the girl, like, you know, Fabio and that kind of a thing. Like they, you know, you look at the covers of romance novels, they're all the sexy guy.
Oh yeah. Because
that's women reading them and that's what they want.
Well, I did two Lifetime original this summer and they hired me to write them and they said, let's do a throwback to the 80s, like sexy thriller. And I was like, ooh, like how sexy? And they're like, like erotic thriller, but don't go that, like no TNA. But I was like, oh, okay. So they turned out great. Like the female viewer, the target demo loved them. But then I think some of the male viewers were like, what am I watching? You know, but it was like Basic Instinct, like going back. But I skewed more on the female side. It was like all very through the female gaze, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think that would be fun to do, like make it kind of do one of the thriller, especially after you do all these sweet movies, to do like a spicy thriller would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was even writing it too. Like I'm writing it, I'm like getting really detailed, but the executives there, they were like, no, we love it, because then they know exactly what I'm thinking. I'm like, can I do this? Like, or no. And even on that one for Lifetime, like I showed the rear end of one of the actors and he's like, he's like, well, do you want to show my bum? Like, I'm in the shower. He's Italian. And I was like, well, can I, like, normally, like, is that allowed? And I called the network and I'm like, he's okay with showing his bum, like on the back, like, can I shoot that? They're like, of course you can shoot it. And I was like, okay. And he's like, please, I always thought I was going to show my bum. You asked me to do a sex thriller in the shower. I say, assume you show my bum. And I was like, okay, great. This is perfect.
I'm like, I got to look up that one.
Yeah. Look them up, A Dangerous Affair and The Art of Passion. Those are them.
That's funny. If you could direct a movie in a genre that you don't work in, what genre would you pick?
Drama. I feel like drama. Like the short that kicked off my career that I won Rhode Island for with this drama, and then I did this kind of sci-fi drama. And my whole personal life has been very dramatic since I was a kid. Like I always say with the Hallmark movies, they're like, oh, she's lost her mom, like child orphan. I was like, well, I was orphaned as a kid. So this wheelhouse is always that, but you know, relatable to me. But as a creator and a filmmaker, I feel like I would really like to do a drama, like a real drama. Maybe I'll get something going. I feel like with Lacey, I would love if I do something for Hallmark, I want to do something with Lacey like that.
We should do that. You should do that. I mean, we could come up with something for Movies and Mysteries.
Yeah.
Drama.
Yeah. And I love that Hallmark is changing right now. Like, I feel like they're open to new and different things right now. So yeah, I keep talking with Lacey. I'm like, come on, let's come up with something.
Now, you did Mr. 365 for Passion Flicks, which was a little bit steamier. Was that fun to do with Christopher?
Yeah, that was another spicy one. I love Chris. As you know, he's one of my favorites. And I know I get a lot of, you know, critics like in the Hallmark circle, like, you always cast the same person. I'm like, not true. Like, I try to switch it up. But like any kind of great director, when you have something that works, then you keep falling back to it. You know?
I mean, look at like Martin Scorsese. He works with De Niro and DiCaprio 99% of the time.
Yeah. But I love Devon Alexander. I've been trying to for some diversity too, but I love him as a male leading actor. So I want to do another one. I did Love on Fire. It didn't go to Hallmark, but he was fantastic.
Ho, ho, ho. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Patreon.
Do you love Hallmarkies podcasts, especially at Christmas?
Do you enjoy the holiday previews, recaps, interviews, and bonus episodes?
If the answer is yes, please consider supporting the Hallmarkies Patreon. We need your help to do what we do both during the Christmas season and all year round.
But not only do you help a podcast led by strong, independent women by becoming a Patreon, you get to become a part of the Hallmarkies family.
Starting at only $2 a month as a patron, you will have access to our Facebook Patreon group where we talk about the movies, shows, and more all year.
We also have many monthly patron watch-alongs with guests like Lacey Chabert, Natalie Hall, Paul Campbell, Mary Lou Henner, and more, giving their behind-the-scenes details of their films.
As a patron, you also have the chance to provide input into the podcast and even join us at different tiers.
So this Christmas season, spread some cheer to the Hallmarkies Patreon and become a member today. You won't regret it.
Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies to learn more.
That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
Steven in this one, man. I love working with Steven and Ashley. These two leads, I just love.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. Yeah, Love on Fire. Upside Girls that cover Up Channel, they really enjoyed the movie. I actually haven't gotten to see it yet, but I was like, ooh, the firefighter movie came to fruition.
I know. Did Hallmark ever do another firefighter movie after that?
What was the one? Well, I mean, they have the Nine Lives of Christmas, and then they did a sequel, and there was one this year. I don't know. My mind is going blank. I can't think of it. Mm-hmm. There was a fireman. What was it? Shoot.
Well, I try to listen to you guys. Like I'm not on Twitter a lot, but I always try to listen to what people are saying. And I read like the conversations online and stuff, because I feel like me as a filmmaker, and especially for this network, for Hallmark specifically, it helps me grow, right? Like, what is landing and what's not landing? What are people getting? Like, did that joke land? No, it didn't. Like, what's landing and what's not?
Yeah. Yeah. Really? Well, we appreciate that. And we always try to be fair. The one I was thinking of is the Three Wise Men and a Baby. Mm-hmm. Andrew Walker's character in that is a firefighter.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking. And then also in Reindeer Games Homecoming on Lifetime, Sarah Drew, her dad was a firefighter. So
oh, right.
A lot at the firehouse there. Yeah. So I think those are the two.
Yeah.
And there was in Three Wise Men and a Baby, we got a scene with Andrew Walker, shirtless scene that was very nice.
Yeah. I'm trying to develop something, Baby Boom. Do you remember Baby Boom?
Yes.
I'm trying to develop something that now I was thinking three, you know, the three wise men that they just did. I'm like, okay, so maybe I could do this one, like leaning into that. So I've been working on that a bit.
Well, I was going to ask you about Five Star Christmas, because that was the first one that really felt kind of madcap in its sensibilities that Hallmark had done in a long time. Mm-hmm. And so you were brought into that kind of, you weren't in the conception stage of that movie. You were brought in to direct
it. I was brought in, I think, on the second revision, and then I worked on the third revision. Joy was already on board, and then I helped cast the rest. But I was specifically brought in, I think, because of my comedy background with the network, because up until then, like back in the day, I feel like my comedy was braced. And then I've gone through a little while where they were just like, pipe it down, Christy, like not so much on your broad comedy and pull it back where, you know, because the network's evolved over the last decade years I've worked for them. It's like, yes, no. And then all of a sudden, one of the, you know, people in charge at Hallmark, he was like, now you can bring back your comedy. Like, I want to see it based in realism, but bring it back. I was like, yes. And I love that cast.
So
that
are we.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see Hall at the Holly with Lacey this year?
Did you get no, to see that one? But I didn't, but I love Wes, and I obviously love two good friends, and it looks like, so funny.
Yeah. It was really funny. Like I said on the show, I wouldn't want every Hallmark movie to be that out there, 'cause it was very silly, but it's fun to have one of those or two maybe. Kind of to, you want it to be a little bit unpredictable, not know exactly what you're going to get. So it was, Melissa Peterman was absolutely hilarious in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the promos and I was just like, oh man, I was so jealous. Yeah. I wanted to direct this one.
She was so good. She was really funny. And they had a lot of cameos. They got Eric Mabius in there as a cameo. They had Chris Palaha in as cameo. So that's always fun too.
So awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So with these kind of TV movies where you don't have like box office, or, I mean, I guess you have ratings, but how do you judge for yourself this movie was a success? What's your biggest like factor in saying?
I guess it's a twofold thing. One is really the Twitter, like, you know, Hallmarkies are very active on social media. Yeah. So I can tune in and kind of sometimes gauge if it's more positive than negative. So I personally take away a little bit from that. And then also overall the ratings, like you get the ratings in and say for this one, we're last of the lineup in January. We're up against The Wedding Veil, which has been advertised so much. We have Ashley and Steven, who aren't big, massive Hallmark stars yet, but they're busy on the network, but not big. So there hasn't been a lot of promotion. So for me, it's what will determine it is how well it does. Like, is someone going to flip through and just stop and tune in and be like, okay, this is kind of interesting. Like, it's a little bit different, and stay with it. And then the numbers. So knowing, I know our numbers will be lower, but hopefully they will be high enough an equation to know that we didn't get any, you know, get a lot of press.
Because that first ratings, a lot of that is more a, what do you say? I think that first ratings is more about how popular the stars are and how well it's marketed, as opposed to just like purely the movie. But then like the buzz that starts to build afterwards, that people really liked it. And whether they, I know, so I think almost the tweeting and then maybe even the second, third, how much it's able to sort of build momentum. It's almost more of like an accurate depiction of whether it's a like good movie and or not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's harder. Like I find some of these that I do, which viewers don't know too, is that, you know, The Wedding Veils are the big Hallmark original ones. They get the budget significantly more than mine. So for me, I'm also hired a lot and executive produce because it's making a story, but you can sometimes tell like the camera's not moving, like the big, cool shots. This is a big movie and we are on a mountain and there's a lot of production value, but some of the smaller stuff, like I just don't have the time or the budget to do bigger things that I would like to do.
Right.
Like it's sometimes nicer to be on a bigger budget. 'Cause you got a little bit more toys to play with and a little bit more days and all those
things. When you're shooting in Canada, Do you then just use like stock imagery for the Glacier National Park stuff, or do you, how does that work?
No, this one's like chasing waterfalls. So we were there, and that's why I was saying it's just, I'm going to roll out photos soon of me behind the scenes. I'm literally like bundled, but no, we had a drone in there. So I think there's probably three shots in the whole movie that are stock, maybe two.
Okay.
But everything else is what we actually physically shot. My director of photography is Sterling
in Bancroft. Canada.
Yeah, he's American too. Like, he works all over the world, but he did Chasing Waterfalls also. So I brought this really cool team of like enthusiasts who are like, yeah, we'll get on the back of a snowmobile. Yeah, we'll get that drone up. And like, you know, we had a skidoo to a location, like bring everybody up on skidoos to this top location. If you had to go to the bathroom, everybody had to wait because it was 20 minutes down and 20 minutes back up. It was very remote in a lot of the areas that we shot for this one.
Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by W Rated, the podcast where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Join me, Daisy.
And me, Claire, as we break down the IMDb bottom 100, choosing a different film from the list every episode.
We take a deep dive into the plot, production, release, and reviews, usually with a special guest, to uncover if these films are truly as bad as everyone says they are.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple, Good Pods, and anywhere else you find your podcasts.
So you're not as concerned about it looking like Glacier National Park, or does the place look enough like it that it works?
Well, my hope is that a lot of viewers probably haven't been there. So it's more about the mountains. So they will fall into the title, but then really fall into the movie and just know that it's a mountain setting. We still call it Fernie within the movie. We call it Fernie. So it's Fernie National Park.
Oh, okay.
So it's quote unquote a make-believe, but anybody who's listening, like, oh, Fernie actually exists. And Fernie is this little teeny tiny town in the middle of the mountains in the Rockies here in Canada, really remote. So I'm hoping people will just appreciate that and be like, okay, well, it's, you know, they didn't go there, but they went here. Yeah.
So I know you have your girls, have they started to be interested in directing or movie making or anything like that?
They're more into it. Like, yeah, they both love to filmmake. Like, they always have their phones and creating their own movies, especially my little one. But my older one, Amelie, is in this one and she's playing the daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. And
she was in High Flying Romance, which was like, you know, 3 years ago. And this one, but interestingly, she's 11 and a half, grade six. And I was not considering her for it at all, because it's on location and I knew it was going to be a very challenging movie. Like, I have a dog on a chairlift. He's a ski and safety snow like dog that actually travels, trained to do that. So my colleague, executive producer, my co-executive producer who did it with me, he was like, what about Amelie? And then our casting director, Judy, she was like, what about Amelie when all the tapes came in? And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do this. Like, if she doesn't have her lines memorized or something, I can't multitask mom and this and that. Anyways, then they both came back and they're like, Christy, like, can we consider Amelie? So I let them talk to her, the casting director. And I was like, Amelie, you're here home alone for 2 weeks before you come up. So your responsibility, you need to come to set, all your lines learned, and like treat this, you're a grown up girl now. Like, there's no nepotism, so to speak. Right.
This
thing. And she came and she was prepared completely and had her own little relationship with the cast. And so she's in this. And the little one she was in Love on Fire, my little one too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, that's exciting. That'll be fun. I'll look for her.
Yeah.
So for Ashley and Steven, do you know the casting process, that how they ended up getting cast in the movie?
Yeah, that was the network.
The
network came with their names.
Oh, really?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married, We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah, so that was, so the network is involved from right from conception that this go. Uh-huh. Obviously it's their movie. So yeah, they came back and I was unfamiliar with both Ashley and Steven. But really fell in love with them. Like their chemistry it's very similar to Cindy and Chris in uh-huh. the sense that it was just sometimes leads just have a little spark and they had a nice spark. Like, and it was very natural, like funny, mm-hmm. this, that. They're just two very natural actors.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing them. They just tell the casting director, these are the two people that we want the leads for this movie. Or does she give them like suggestions? Okay. Yeah.
No, they, the network just came. They're like, okay, we'd like the leads to be this person. And then I go ahead and cast the rest with my colleague. And then the network approves. Cool. And so Tegan Moss is playing supporting the best friend. And she's been in a lot of movies for the network.
Mm-hmm.
All the wine movies. I think she was in all the wine.
Oh,
movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was, I think, with Marcus Rosner in those. Yeah.
Yeah. So, she was.
Yeah. So do you have a favorite movie that you've directed?
I don't know. Because they're like children. Like you sure, don't want to say one. Like I have like quite a few that I've loved. And for me, it's always the cast. Some are harder than others. And the hard ones, Christmas is always very hard because you're dealing with snow.
Right.
An art department and lights. So you're not just worrying about the story and the actors. You're now worrying about you're responsible. Is there snow on the back? Oh, there's a piece of green in the background. Okay, I need more decorations here. And everyone's always very stressed on the Christmas movies because there's just so much. And then it's that much more cost to produce for the network because it's like, sorry, I thought I'd turn my dinger off. It keeps dinging.
That's okay. It must be an amazing thing though to see this like winter wonderland unfold before your eyes.
Yeah, it is. And I feel like I've done it now, like going back since Cookie Cutter Christmas a decade ago. I feel like I'm definitely I've been developing a series for a long time. I went to Toronto to TIFF. It's called Fishing for Men and it's about a TV romance director who's an expert at making love in the movies but falls short at finding it in a real life. I do have it in my real life, but that's the premise. So it's kind of But I was telling people, I was like, I'm an expert at making Christmas. Like I know, but I now know, like I can't, I'm like, it's fun. And it's fun when you see it on the screen. I'm like, okay, that's great. Got it. Perfect.
That sounds really good. I hope somebody picks that up.
Pardon?
That sounds really good. That's serious. I hope someone picks it up.
Yeah. I went to TIFF this year for the World Bank in Canada. I was selected as a new content creator. Yeah. Very autobiographical. Down to having two daughters and stuff. And
that's so cool.
Like 30 Rock, it's a show within a show. So it all takes place on her show, making these movies, starts out with a Christmas movie, I like making Christmas, but it's challenging. Those are the ones that are always like, I'm like, okay, well, I need to work. So I guess maybe I'll do it.
Yeah. That sounds really good. I hope Netflix, that seems right up Netflix's.
Yeah.
The wheelhouse. But so Don't Forget I Love You. That one was co-host Mary's number one non-Christmas of love.
It was?
2022.
Oh, yeah, that was right. Yeah.
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 So and that one tackled a lot. It had a lot of with the like grief and with her like trying to get back and kind of get out of her rut.
Yeah.
With her mother. Writing the clues, all of that was fun. Amelia is so good.
It's so funny that some people though, because then I read something else, like that's where you take a grain of salt with the reviewers, because some people love it and then some people like, oh, tear it apart. Amelia was so beautiful in that. Like she's just a beautiful person, and that tackled a lot.
Yeah, well, and Clayton's so good. He should be, I think, a bigger star in these movies. He's great.
I agree. Yeah.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Are you looking for that perfect gift for the postable, hardy, or Hallmarky in your life?
What about getting that t-shirt or hoodie that will help you stand out at your next holiday party?
Now is the time to check out the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Full of festive designs by artists like Jessica Miller, Carrie from Hallmark Comics, and more.
You can even have more than just shirts, but totes, cell phone cases, notebooks, mugs, and more.
And it isn't just Hallmark. We have designs for Anna Green Gables, Man from Snowy River, The Nanny, and more.
Every purchase at the merch store goes to help support the podcast and allows us to make the great content you know and love.
There are frequent sales, so go to tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies or see the link in the description.
That's tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies.
So this one, they're avalanche forecasters?
No. So he's an avalanche. So at a mountain, you have a ski and safety. So ski and safety at any big mountain across the world, whether people are skiing on it or not, but normally it's resorts and stuff. You have someone who avalanche expert and measure snow. And that's what he does. And she's a scientist and she does the same thing, but she does the science of it, which is happening right now where it's a lot of computer things where you take the measurements of snow from your computer and database, and then you can make predictions on what will happen with the snow. So it's her kind of trying to bring that to him, and he's very resistant for her technology, but he quite likes her, and we don't really know why. And obviously we find out closer to the end.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's almost like the Rain movie where you had the different forecasters.
Yeah.
Going on, you know,
more story than that one. Like that one didn't have a lot of story. It was just Cindy and Chris, like have kind of a lot of fun. This has a lot more story to it. Uh-huh. And we actually named, the lead character, her name is Heather Lawrence. And, when I met Ashley, we were talking about her character, and I was reworking the script and just making sure things were falling into place with our experts. And I said, is there anything that you're bumping on or anything, like any kind of wish lists or anything like this? Like, do you like your name or your character, this and that? Anyways, long story short, she lost her cousin 2 years ago, and she was a big outdoor enthusiast, and she was very young. She was in her early 20s. And so we changed the name of the character to her cousin's name, which was Heather Lawrence, as kind of an homage.
Oh, that's sweet.
Who died too young as an outdoor enthusiast. And then Tegan's character also had a name, and Tegan also lost her cousin also just a couple of years ago, who was also an outdoor enthusiast on a backpack trip. And we changed her name to Riley off. So we kind of did this little nod to kind of young women who we've lost too soon, who are outdoor enthusiasts who, you know, died.
Oh, that's sweet. That's a sweet tribute.
Yeah.
So did you shoot this in February, like last winter?
No, I just shot it. I was out there of November, December. Like I'm literally, it's being delivered today. It was, I think this morning delivered. Like I've been on full post. Like I feel like finished that movie. Like I said, it was so hard with dogs, outdoor, cold, winter, everything you can imagine.
And
then posted it. Like went to edit, and then the network, and like putting it together, and then Christmas, and here I am right now. So I feel like I'm just like exhaling for the first time because it's just been a whirlwind. Yeah, we just shot it.
That's amazing turnaround. People, I think, that aren't in, that are just in the space, don't realize that that's like, that's not the way movies are normally made. Like,
no,
a 2 month turnaround from shooting to.
But you really shoot what you're going to use. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I say to my cinematographer on it, I'm like, he's like, oh, but I really like this. And I was like, but you know what? I need this. And this, just so you know, this is what I'm going to use. That's beautiful, but I don't have time. So I'm kind of editing, cutting in my head as I'm shooting.
Are you watching like the dailies every day or?
No, you're so tired by the end of the night. Like, especially on this one, I'm up on that. Some movies when I'm not as tired, but this one, like literally I'm in ski boots for 14 hours a day on the top of the mountain. That would get down. No, I'm not watching the dailies because I can see it through the monitor and then I'm cutting it. I just knew the script so well, how to put it together. So I knew if I got it or didn't. And then I have an editor who would be, he's cutting it in real time too. So he would email and be like, Christy, you're missing this. And whether it's a little bit.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, so it was really cold. I mean, it looks cold from this footage when you were shooting.
Oh yeah, we had
freezing.
minus 20, and I would have session on the top of the mountain, like Ashley, like her little tiny self. I'd be like, but I would call a whole thing on the crew because people would try to like be brave. So every about 20 minutes, I'd say, okay, warm up session. Everybody's warming up. And then we go into the hut. Everybody would warm, wiggle your toes, get everybody's hot shots. Okay. And now we come back up. But it was that cold, like danger. You can't keep a crew out there for that long. So, and we'd have cameras freeze up and everything because it was just so the temperature. Yeah. But these avalanche dogs, our Abbey dogs, were all used to it. I was like, are the dogs okay? Like, yeah,
would you describe this one as enemies to lovers? Did they start out not getting along and then?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. No, it's a kind of a realistic, I would say, I guess some of them I do enemies to lovers. No, this is more based a bit more realism, meeting someone and kind of bumping up against something or someone's resistance. So natural chemistry just is created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would you say?
Go back to the old school thing though, that I've done, like kind of lean back to the old hallmark, I say, where there's little tropes, you know, some of them that always work and people like, so I kind of, there's a little bit of that in this.
Good. That's good. What would you say is the most fun part about this movie? How would you pitch it to a Hallmark? You say, this is, you're going to enjoy it.
I would say that one, it's a bit different because it takes us out into a new environment. So it's like a big outdoor romance movie that's fun for the family and has heart. Like there's an underlying heart within this. And it's a romance with comedy. Like I didn't leave out the comedy. Like I tinkered it all in there and then the actors. So I don't know. That's a very good pitch.
Yeah, very
it's
good.
A romance, but I still have a little bit of the comedy in there.
If you had to pick, would you rather vacation hot or cold?
Hot.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
The beach. Yeah. I ski. Like I was just skiing this weekend with my kids. I'm a big skier and I love skiing, but like if I want to, hot.
Okay, good.
By the all ocean. Right.
Well, last time you were on, we did our regular fun questions. So this time we're going to give you our holiday themed questions. So think Christmas. Like
is this how many shows like, but is it all about Hallmark movies?
No, it's just like fun, silly questions. So
okay.
First one is, what is your favorite holiday drink?
A hot toddy.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Oh, but I like eggnog and rum too.
Okay. What is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
Shortbread.
Mm-hmm. Good. What is your favorite Christmas song or carol?
Silent Night.
Very good. What do you know that was written originally for the guitar?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. Did you ever see my movie with the one with it was so good. Jesse Hutch was in it and Laura Bell Bundy, and I had the people from Growing Pains, the mom and the dad, and it was based the clauses, and they go there. It was for Lifetime. It was so good.
Oh, actually, that sounds People fun.
Last year on People Magazine, I did it 5 years ago, and it was an all-time classic. It was like on the cover of People Magazine.
I love Jesse Hutch. What is this movie?
It's with Meredith Baxter's in it, and they play the clauses. Becoming Santa.
I've never seen this.
I got like my People Magazine here. I gotta pull it up, but it was like all of a sudden someone's like, Chris, did you know Becoming Santa's in People Magazine? Anyways, I have Michael, is his name? Oh, I'm forgetting the name. Meredith Baxter's husband in real life on Michael Gross. He played Santa.
I love him too.
Oh, you should watch Becoming Santa. That's one of my favorite.
Oh my gosh. I love Laura Bell Bundy.
Oh, it's so great. And Tony Cavallaro, if you know Tony from TV, he's so funny. It's a
I am definitely going to have to watch this.
Lifetime sometimes airs it, but it's done really well internationally. But they sing Silent Night, and they do this like a cappella, but I bring it in on the guitar. So yes, I knew that.
That's very cool. Okay, good. What is your favorite classic Christmas movie?
I would say The Sound of Music. Is that considered Christmas? I always watch it at Christmas.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that's often played at Christmas, but I don't think it has any Christmas scenes in it, does it?
Are they leaving at Christmas? I can't remember.
Yeah,
I also remember. Like Elf, or what is
Elf,
it?
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Which do you like better, Scrooge or the Grinch?
Well, did you see Scrooge this year? Did you see it in the theaters?
The Spirited?
Yeah, The Spirited.
Yeah, so good.
So good. So good. I like that. I'd say the Grinch, maybe.
Okay. Which do you like better, clear lights or colored?
Clear lights. My kids like colored, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Would you rather be in a snowball fight or build a snowman?
Build a snowman.
Okay. Would you consider yourself a good gift wrapper or not?
Terrible. I'm like the fold stick, like terrible wrapper. I dream of being a good wrapper. I like to get a really nice wrap gift. Mine's always stopped. If I do a gift exchange with people, like I had a couple friends, like mine's always the last one to be picked because it looks terrible.
You're like, inside it's good, I promise.
Yeah.
Well, do you have an ugly Christmas sweater?
No.
No, you don't.
No, do you?
I do. I have one with a cat. And then I have like an ugly, I have some ugly Christmas like hats.
Yeah. I have a couple hats. I have a cute elf hat from that Becoming Santa that we had them all made with buttons all along the side.
Oh, that's like, cute.
So I have like cute little elf hats right there. I don't have it. Yeah.
Well, very good. You did it. You answered all the questions.
Yay.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking with us about your career and new movie. We're really excited for it. And everybody can watch it this Saturday, correct?
Yes, this Saturday.
Very good. Okay. Well, if people want to follow you on social media, how do they do that?
Christy Will Wolf.
Great.
At Christy Will Wolf.
Great. We'll have that all in the description. People can follow you. And thanks again for taking time to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. So great to talk to you.
I'd like to thank Christy for coming on the podcast. This was so much fun. Loved getting to talk with her. Let us know what you think about all the different things that we talked about. I'd love to hear in the comments. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. Also, make sure you're following the podcast on Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. That really helps us a lot. And if you are watching on YouTube, please give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. We also have our patron group and merch store, which is some of the best ways that you can support us. And thanks again to Christy. Talk to you later. Bye.